All right, can we move on then to the couple of main items that we have in the agenda? Item 7, which is a briefing on the Central Kowloon Route, Phase 2, the public engagement exercise that's ongoing. This is, as you probably know, a very major piece of infrastructure, which is deemed to be very important in terms of linking up the different areas of Kowloon side. You'll find on your table both the English and Chinese version of the engagement digest. We have quite a large cast. We have Mrs. Tam, Mr. Tao, Mr. Locke, Mr. Leung, Mr. Lam, and Mr. Ko from Highways Department. Welcome all. And from Arab Mott MacDonald, we have Mr. Young, Ms. Chu, Mr. Chu, and Mr. Low. And then we have two independent experts. We have Professor Charles Ng and Professor William Lam. Both are chair professors in their respective areas. Welcome, everybody. Difficult to see you behind that screen, but I'm sure you're there. Who is going to lead us on this particular presentation? Could you just introduce yourself, sorry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm Joanna Kopp, the project manager of the Major West of Highways Department, the project team leader for the Central Kowloon Road project. First of all, I would like to thank you, thank the committee to give us the opportunity here to introduce to you the project of Central Kowloon Road, and also the opportunity for us to explain to you the importance of this road and also the overriding public need for the temporary reclamation to facilitate the construction of the Central Kowloon Road. Actually, the planning of this project has commenced quite a number of years before. And back in 2007 to 2009, we completed the stage one public engagement during the investigation and preliminary design stage. At the end of the first public engagement, we have reached consensus on the need of the project and also the preferred alignment of the Central Kowloon Road and also the principle on repositioning of the facilities affected by the project. In 2011, we started the detailed design assignment for this Central Kowloon Road project and to carry out the detailed assessments and also work on the detailed alignment and also the construction arrangements. We have now reached an advanced stage of the detailed design, and therefore we have commenced our stage two public engagement since early December last year. We are still in the consultation stage up to around end March. The project, I can tell you that this is a very complex project, and today we want to introduce to you, explain to you the alignment of the project, and also in particular, as I mentioned before, the overriding public need for the temporary reclamation to facilitate the construction of the project. And we are having the consultation. We will come back to the task force later on in around in the second quarter of this year to introduce to you the other elements of the route, which is mainly on the two interchanges at the east and also the west end, together with the associated facilities like the ventilation buildings, the landscaping work of the arising from the project. We appreciate the vision of the Commission. We understand that our members are keen on the connectivity, particularly for the pedestrian, to reach the waterfront. We are working on how the interchange would affect or connect the people to the waterfront, and we are working out the details with the departments, listening to the views of the public. And certainly we will come back on this later on to the task force. Today, first of all, I think I would let our consultant, Mr. K.M. Yeung, to introduce to you about the project and also the temporary reclamation. KM would lead you through a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Thank Paul. You. Maybe I should actually go straight into the presentation because the PowerPoint or presentation is quite a lengthy one. I try to actually make it short and complete the presentation.
Can you try and get through in 15 minutes, please?
Oh, sorry.
At speed. Thank you.
Okay. Well, the presentation actually structured in five main parts. First of all, introduction to CKL, and then the because a section, a short section of the route actually need to touch the Kowloon Bay, so we need to justify the working in the harbour, Victoria Harbour, and on that sense we will look at the alternative to reclamation, also the arrangement of temporary reclamation, and are there any alternatives, and also to address on how wide to keep the reclamation to the minimum width before we draw the conclusion. And we also will have a briefing on the public engagement that we have touched on previously and in the near few weeks. And also, in response to some comments, and we also have a few slides touch on the Kai Tak interchange, although Mr. Cox said that we will come back to the task force in the near future on this with more details. The slide shown here actually is the central Kowloon route from the west end linking the Yau Ma Tei interchange on the west side and to the future Kai Tak development or existing Kai Tak development actually under construction now. Basically, the two end points, the east side Kai Tak and also the west end Yau Ma Tei, is the two points of connection actually dictated the route, more or less, because you can see there's only one area on the west side is the Yau Ma Tei interchange for us to connect, and then the other side is actually is the Kai Tak interchange. So the whole route running 4.7 kilometers, about 3.9 will be in tunnel, and this project is now scheduled to start the commencement by the 2015 and for completion by the end of 2020. A section of this CKL route actually will touch on the Kowloon Bay. Because of that, we understand we also need to justify the construction within the Victoria Harbour, in particular if we actually need to have the reclamation. Somehow, the construction, as far as construction concern, this short section required to have a temporary reclamation, although no permanent reclamation will be needed, but a temporary reclamation will be required. And we also need to look at if would there be any other alternative instead of the temporary reclamation, and also we also need to demonstrate that we actually keep the temporary reclamation to the absolute minimum in order to meet the protection of the harbour ordinance requirement. This slide just show a few snapshots of traffic currently happening in some of the east-west main traffic corridor or road corridor between east and west. They actually span across from Boundary Street to Prince Edward Road West and all the way to Argyle Street and Chatham Road North, and even up to as north as the Long Chuan Road. As you can see, or many of the road users right now actually has to experience quite a lot of traffic congestion or traffic jams. Quite a number of this kind of major traffic junction at the present moment actually has already exceeded or approaching the capacity. So even someone may actually ask for, how about some sort of mile level improvement work, which may help a little bit, but will not be able to provide the sort of link, the strategic link between the east and west. And so the CKL actually has been established or identified as one of the strategic links required in the territorialized TIA study that government has conducted a few years ago. With the CKL, we expect that the traffic will be improved substantially. As you can see from this slide, the current, what I said, from Boundary Street, Prince Edward Road West and Waterloo Road, right now, the VC, the volume to capacity ratio, has already come up to about the design limits already or exceeded already. So in the future year, up to 2021, that is the year that we have the CKL open on 2021. If we do not have the CKL, by 2021, the level of service will be deteriorated from the current E class to F, that means fail. With the CKL, you can see it will drop back or improve to D, which is actually with the sort of volume to capacity about 25% capacity level. And other than the VC volume to capacity, we also look at the junction itself. That is the road junction reserve capacity. As you can see, in few number of this major road junction, with the CKL, the reserve capacity will be able to improve by 20% to 40%. As you can see here, say Prince Edward Road West, right now minus 10% to positive 10%, and in Waterloo Junction will be minus 20 to plus 20, so 40% improvement. And here, this slide actually gives another observation based on our traffic impact assessment. The current sort of traffic queue or traffic jam in the Mong Kok area, this is actually 2011 time, years or also years. As you can see, many of the major road junctions actually have a queue existing right now, actually traffic queues even longer than one block. That means it will actually will create easily about a gridlock of the whole traffic or road network in Kowloon. Some of the members may be able to recall about one of the major incidents which actually created by a scaffolding collapse at Prince Edward Road East on 9 May 2005. Just 7 years ago, and that incident actually created major trial or major sort of traffic congestion blocking the many of the area, many of the major roads in Kowloon for more than half a day to a day. So this incident actually created, raised up the concern about the traffic reliability and also connectivity. Obviously, CKL will be one of the major elements that will improve the connectivity and reliability. And with CKL, with the additional connectivity, then the travel time between Yau Ma Tei and Kai Tak area will be shortened or reduced down to about 5 minutes only. Without that, the mean will be talking about more than half an hour, 35 minutes. And because, as I said earlier on, many of the roads actually has already exceeded the capacity, so the not reliable and unpredictable in terms of even a minor accident or minor incident may create a long queue and long traffic block. So with the traffic, with the CKL constructed, implemented by 2021, then you can see it will provide a direct link between the west and east, or east and west, and also can actually have a highway link around the harbor. This is a really important and essential vital link that we require for Hong Kong, for the Hong Kong community. Other than the connectivity and the reliability benefits, obviously with the CKL, as I said earlier on, actually reduce the travel time, but substantially to only 5 minutes, it will actually have a number of various other benefits, including economic benefits, and also reducing a lot of emissions, so environmental benefits, and also improving mobility and also the living and working environment. So the preferred alignment of Mr. Cox said earlier on, actually we have established or reviewed and investigated the alignment in the investigation stage. And now in the detailed design stage, actually we have reviewed the alignment again and confirmed the alignment similar to what have been proposed in the I stage. And this actually, again, because of a short section, 370 meter long, need to be constructed in the Kowloon Bay. So this, the remaining few slides will touch on more focus at this particular area. So other than this, I mean, the section 370, we actually have looked at, first of all, look at different options before we come down to a temporary reclamation. Several other construction methods that we have considered, one is immersed tube tunnel, and second one is a bore tunnel, TBM, by using TBM machine. So I will go through this quickly, these two, before we touch on the temporary reclamation. So the IMT, or the immersed tube, we need to excavate, first of all, in order to have this construction method, we need to, first of all, dredge the existing seabed to provide the site formation, to form the site, to receive the tunnel. Because the tunnel actually will be in deep rock in the land section, so in order to receive the tunnel in Kowloon Bay, we need to dredge or excavate down to about 30 meters, which is actually right next to the existing Mato Kok or Kowloon City ferry pier. And the seabed level, we need to excavate as wide as 220 meters, and the bottom part will be around 50 to 60 meters. And then we will, after form the trench, site formation completed, we will flow the precast tunnel concrete box into place. And to do that, we also need to dredge part of the existing seabed for the fairway, for the barges to deliver the precast element to come in. And after formation, concreting the tunnel box, and then we will backfill the seabed. So all in all, you can see we need to disturb about 220 meter wide by 370 meter long solid trench of the in the Kowloon Bay. And here the plan will to show the impact of this wide trench. As you can see, here is the Kowloon City ferry pier area. Three out of the four existing marine structure or facility required to be relocated or demolished because of the trench will actually come in touch with the seawall. And this trench will also affect the seawall construction, the integrity of the existing seawall, because the seawall is only sitting at about 9 meters or less than 10 meters sort of foundation. And in addition to the seawall, this trench will also affect some of the existing private development in terms of structural integrity. And so as a conclusion, we consider the immersed tube construction method is not feasible or will not be one of the alternatives to replace the consideration of the temporary reclamation. The other method look at is actually using machine, bore tunnel or TBM tunnel boring machine. Our tunnel actually need to come up to about 17 to 20.5 meter diameters. For safe construction, we need to maintain a minimum of 1.5 diameters overburden or soil cover in order to maintain a positive pressure within the tunnel during the tunnel or tunnel boring machine operation process in order to keep seawater to penetrate or go into the tunnel. Because of that 1.5 meters, we need to maintain this 1.5 meter diameter earth pressure or earth burden, or soil cover to maintain this pressure. If we do not have this sort of cover, then it will come in the risk of overblow. That means the pressure from the tunnel will actually blow up the soil cover and create a big hole, and the seawater will flood into the tunnel and create a flooding. And that obviously will become a disaster to the tunnel operation or the plant material inside the tunnel. So as we also have a cross-section to show the members about what sort of level of cover that we can have. close to the seawall at Kai Tak, as you can see, we only have about 2 meters. This is far less than the 1.5 times of the tunnel diameter. So again, technically talking about this method is not feasible here. Some members may say, why don't you actually put the tunnel deeper? But if we put the tunnel deeper, then we will not be able to match or meet with the Kai Tak interchange in the Kai Tak development area. Now, after looking at the two other tunnel methods, which we consider not feasible for this case, we'll now look at the current cover tunnel section. Here's the plan we propose to construct the tunnel by using a temporary reclamation in the blue section. Enlargement, which can show the member about the detail. The yellow part is the tunnel section that we need to construct. And the green color is the temporary platform that we need to maintain in order to provide the safe construction during the construction stage. And the red color is a kind of dark diaphragm wall or structural concrete structural wall, which will provide the permanent support to the tunnel section. As you can see with this method, it will only affect about one existing marine facility, which is the Mata Kok public pier. So we can keep the other two actually intact. To show the member, we got one aerial photograph showing one of the wheel project adopting this temporary reclamation for cut and cover tunnel construction method in the Central Wanzhou Bypass in Causeway Bay, Typhoon Shelter. So this method has been right now under construction and so far proved really successful. This cross-section actually to let the member understand how are we going to construct. First of all, we will construct a temporary seawall on two sides, and then the reclamation, talk about backfilling, talk about only 5-6 meters on top of the existing seabed. And all this reclamation or backfilling will be confined within the temporary seawall. This will keep the water quality problem in the Kowloon Bay actually to the absolute minimum. And the construction, first of all, we will excavate down to the bottom level and then to construct the box. And then later on, we'll remove the temporary construction or temporary reclamation, temporary seawall, and leaving the tunnel here and backfill back to reinstate the seabed. All this actually will be constructed within this temporary seawall to minimize the disturbance to the existing Kowloon Bay. This is the aerial photograph showing the approximate alignment on plan. And during construction of the 370 meter section, we actually subdivide the construction in two phases. And so each one will be around equal in terms of length, 180 or 190 meters. And in order to maintain the traffic, marine traffic, keep the marine traffic intact all the way through during the construction of this tunnel section. And after reinstatement, back to the original. And other than look at the traffic certification overriding lead to prove the overriding lead and also the requirement of temporary reclamation, now we look at, okay, we require to have temporary reclamation and how far the reclamation require. This is the plan with the cross-section of the two tunnel sections in the within the seabed of Kowloon Bay. And again, look at its construction again. So we actually need to maintain 20 meter working space, as I said earlier on, and demonstrated by one of the current projects in Causeway Bay for the central Wanzhou Bypass. So it's actually proved to be the absolute minimum. We require to have a 20 meter working space outside the tunnel section. So all in all, the overall reclamation talk about 90 to 100 meter wide. So this we consider the absolute minimum required. Another closer view of the same project in the Central Kowloon Bypass. So we prove that. We hope, we trust that we actually prove the minimum extent of temporary reclamation required for this particular section. And temporary reclamation is considered the only practically feasible and safe construction method. Within our team, other than the engineers from Mott MacDonald and Arab or JV, we also have independent experts from Hong Kong UST Professor Charles Ng and also Professor William Lam, H.K. Lam from PolyU. They will reveal or have revealed and also confirm our findings and also refinement wherever appropriate. And so they have also confirmed that no other viable alternative other than what we have considered. They also look at different views, different methods. But at the end, actually, no other viable alternative construction method is available other than the cut and cover with temporary reclamation. And also, they have also reviewed and confirmed that the proposed construction method and temporary reclamation is technically feasible, and also CKL is vital to relieve the traffic and provide a strategic link between the east-west of Kowloon. As Mr. Cox said, we actually have the first rounds of public engagement even back to 2009 during the investigation stage. Now we actually have already started the second stage in December on the 5th of December, and we have conducted a few rounds of focus group meeting, and there will be a few more, and also public forums. One of the public forums will be particularly addressed on this temporary reclamation area, which will be held on the 2nd of February at the Hong Kong Productivity Council. So all in all, I trust, I hope the foregoing presentation has already confirmed about the lead, overriding public lead of this project in order to alleviate the traffic issues. And also, for the 370-meter long section in Kowloon Bay, we have considered other construction methods, but conclude that temporary reclamation is required and no other reasonable alternative to the temporary reclamation. And out of the temporary reclamation, we have also conclude and review and confirm that the width of the reclamation that we propose is the absolute minimum that we require. So, go back. So hopefully the members should have a better understanding of the project so far on the CKL, particularly on the section in Kowloon Bay. And in the following few more slides, actually we have prepared a few updates in response to the connectivity in Kai Tak Interchange, which I understand some members actually have some sort of interest in this. And we also requested to come back to tell the member about are there any changes regarding the latest finding or latest design compared to the OSRP that have been published. So a couple of the minor changes that related to connectivity in the Kowloon or Kai Tak area. One is actually number one, where the loop roads, it was an overpass, and now we actually change it to underpass to minimize the visual impacts particularly. And this loop road is only for a for connection to the main building. This is not a major public sort of interchange anyway. So with this change, we'll improve the visual impacts. The other change is actually S4. It was light blue color here at this location, but now we actually propose to separate, particularly because of we would like to separate the local traffic with the strategic traffic between the east and west, running from the running out from the central Kowloon Wood. So we try to separate the local traffic by keeping the link S4 slip road towards the interchange here to keep the flow from the west or from the east to the west or from west to east, particularly rather than through this interchange, rather than go into the local underpass or affecting the local roads in the future lot of apron development. With that change, S4 change, so you can see we will take up some of the area of this GIC site, the green one, originally was belong to the GIC. But with the release or relief of the S4 POC here, we actually rebuild the underpass or remove the underpass, and now we can actually surrender some of the area back to the GIC. So just this minor modification. And the other loop is actually for the T2, that is the loop, east-west loop, we propose to modify here instead of down here again. That we consider a minor change of the old OSRP. Here are a few number of slides that we generate from the montage. So in the future main building, and here is the existing Kai Tak Tunnel main building. the Kaitat or the Central Kowloon would come out to meet with the interchange, Kaitat interchange, future Kaitat interchange. Some pedestrian linkage in the frontage. And another look here is the Central Kowloon would come out to meet with the Kaitat interchange. And here's the D2 go into the existing one-way area, and the main building at the foreground. Yeah, and I look from the edge of the main building, and the future development in the North Apron, and also Promenade next to the Nala. Here's the overview, and with the red color dot showing the pedestrian linkage, either through D3 or from the North Apron down to the Nala waterfront, or from the existing Kowloon Bay development down to the waterfront here. Another wheel. Oh. Okay, this concludes our presentation, my presentation today.
Thank you, KM. And Mr. Chairman, as mentioned by in the PowerPoint of just now, Highways Department actually has appointed two professors to give the independent review on our project. One is Professor William Lam, the Chair Professor of Civil and Transportation Engineering of the Hong Kong Polytechnic University. He's going to actually he has give expert independent review on the traffic justification for the project. And also Professor Charles Ng, the Chair Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering of the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. He has conducted independent review on the construction method for the underwater section of the Central Kowloon Road in Kowloon Bay. I would like to take this opportunity to ask the two professors to give their independent view here. Professor William Lam first, followed by Professor Charles Ng.
Sorry, Mrs. Kwok, if I may interject. I'm not sure it is necessary for them to actually make the case, if you like. This is not an engineering forum. It's not a traffic forum. I mean, we're primarily concerned with harbour planning principles and minimising as best we can the impact on the waterfront. I would like, because I think I'd like to have time for questions and answers and discussion, I'd like, if the professors don't mind, that we take their work that they've done, we accept it, it becomes part of the record of the meeting. But I don't think there's any need for them to actually present, unless you feel strongly. As I say, our role is harbour planning principles, making sure that we minimise impact on the waterfront, and that's primarily what I think members will want to discuss with you now. So are the two professors happy for us to put their presentations on record and leave it at that? I think that's a sensible way to deal with it.
Mr. Chairman, I would like, since they are here, I hope the committee will give them a chance to give their independent view, which will be rather short. I think 5 minutes for each professor.
Can a professor present in 5 minutes? professors, two professors, you have a challenge, 5 minutes each. But I don't want to devalue all your work. You see, the danger is if you charge through and try and cover everything in 5 minutes, you may not be doing justice to all your work. We fully accept that there's a need to justify these projects from an engineering perspective. You've done that. And I was going to say to my members that we take the engineering cases read. We're not here to challenge you on engineering. So I would much prefer we talk about harbour, waterfront, minimising impact, rather than get into a discussion about the engineering case. Very few people around this room have any engineering knowledge whatsoever. So I don't see a great deal of point. Please. Is that a professor? Mrs. Kwok, what would you like to do?
All right. So I leave you to the decision of the chairman. All right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think it makes better sense, honestly, and we will certainly record the two professors' reports for the record. What I want to do now is, if I can, just focus the discussion or at least seek members' comments. I mean, first request is to everybody who's not an engineer, please avoid the temptation of becoming an instant engineer. I think we should my view is we should accept the engineering case. I think it was well presented and well argued. And I think what we should focus on is the extent to which these works are going to impact on the waterfront and how we mitigate and minimise. Now, I think reality is the devil is in the detail. We need to spend time looking at ventilation buildings. We need to spend time looking at administrative buildings, portals, how we deck over things, disguise things, but you're not really ready for that, and that is my sense. And this seems to be what we're seeing today is if you like, the teaser, if I may put it this way. It's alerting us to the project, and then you're going to come back with the detail on the things that which we most worry about, which are the things which have visual impact on the waterfront. We've had challenges, as you know, with the Central Wan Chai Bypass on ventilation buildings, administrative buildings, trying to minimise visual impact. So I think you may get some general comments today, but again, I would encourage members not to get into a lot of detail, because I think, to be fair to TD, they need to work up the solutions for all these different elements and come to the task force with those elements. But members, comments, observations? Paul, please. Sorry, Vincent, please, sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Paul, for letting me to speak before you. I think, well, as Chairman said, well, I'm not an engineer, so I cannot challenge the engineering case, and I would also not challenge the need for this Central Kowloon route. However, well, as an urban designer and architect, I think I have to make remark that I have very serious concern on the infrastructure impact on the waterfront. If I could, well, ask that the presenter show us the slide number 47 and 48 on the screen. Yeah. Right. And also as chair of Kitech, well, we acknowledge that, well, we have a Kitech office overseeing the entire Kitech planning and waterfront, and we also have the coordination with the East Kowloon, Energizing Kowloon East office in looking at energizing waterfront and public space for the East Kowloon and Kai Tak area. Now, we also have the harbour planning principle saying that, well, infrastructure along the waterfront should be minimised because, well, waterfront area should be for leisure and recreation use as much as practicable. You know, while I'm not challenging the alignment of the infrastructure, however, by looking at this visual, I have a very, very serious concern on whether you actually need that much space, particularly if you look at the space around that ventilation and administration building. You have a very extensive road space for the purpose of parking that seven or eight number of car parks. I understand that, well, this is something necessary, but I am challenging whether this is the right place to put that number of car park on ground, which is in competition with waterfront space, whether this can be placed underground or wherever, so as to free up more space for recreation. And I'm also concerned of people walking from the Kai Tak River towards the Kai Tak Channel on grade and you have to walk through all this underneath the flyover. So whether there will be problem with the lighting, and how that environment would be, the problem will be mitigated in terms of lighting, ventilation, and air pollution, and how to make that journey from the Kai Tak River towards the Kai Tak Channel a pleasant one, rather than moving oneself underneath all this shaded area underneath a lot of vehicles. So I think, Chairman, this is just an example of my major concern on the effect of the infrastructure on the pedestrian experience, and the entire image on the harbourfront, and how people can leisurely use the waterfront. And also this will impact upon a lot of potential planning for the Kai Tak area. Chairman, we have talked about making the Pro Channel area being a water sports recreation area, and so I'm wondering how these infrastructure work can be well coordinated with any proposed Kai Tak planning. Lastly, Chairman, I am seriously asking for someone or agency need to have all this coordinated, because I understand these are different departmental work. You know, so the end, we need someone to really coordinate all this to ensure that harbour planning principles are compiled. Thank you, Chairman.
Vincent, thank you. Echoing my thoughts to Mrs. Kwok, what I suggest we do, let's collect the comments together, and then you may want to react and respond. Some you may want to take away and obviously think about. But why don't we have some more comments first, and then ask you to respond.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agree. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Paul?
Thank you. Just as a first off comment, as the from the Society of the Protection of the Harbour, we have written last week to the project office to ask them for more information regarding the how this project relates to the CFA judgments and the requirements, the cogent and convincing materials requirement, and we've asked for construction works details. So I'm glad, Chairman, you've decided today that we're not going to review slide presentations on those details, which are just presented to us right now and have not been provided to us well in advance, so that we can have a considered and good discussion. In general, I must raise my objection to this method, that these days in the Harbourfront Commission meetings we are presented with presentation materials on the spot, rather than in advance, so we can be prepared for our meetings and we can ask the right questions. So I think this is an inappropriate way of conducting meetings, and I hope that the Harbour Unit could advise proponents to provide the materials well in advance and not just a paper, so that we have time to prepare ourselves. So we will take, as the SPA, we will take all the materials that we will receive today and in time, and respond to it separately on the reclamation issue. On the issue of Kai Tak and the land take, I'm glad that Paul Chen is here. Paul, just look at the amount of land that is being taken here for roads, for amenity areas, and for GRC facilities to support the Highways Department's work. Compare that to the land used for housing behind it, or to the size of the sports stadium. This is a crime. That in a city like Hong Kong, where we have to have careful use of our land, we have a pancake of spaghetti for only one single use, that is the movement of vehicles. We don't use any space below it. We don't use the space above it. We take a massive amount of land and is designated for one use, as the mobility of our vehicles. Now, of course, we need mobility in our city, otherwise the economy cannot thrive. But I think that this approach to taking land is a crime. We can see this here in Kai Tak, and we can see the same in Kowloon West. If you just take the pencil for Kowloon West and mark the area which has been annihilated by highways infrastructure, that basically segregates Ferry Street from the Yamate Typhoon Shelter, that segregates the Kowloon station all the way up to the north to the Bangkok West property developments. We have a massive piece of land which segregates the major living areas only by highways. No person can properly walk there. There is no corridor, not just a corridor of walking. They can now indicate that there maybe is a path we can walk under through highways and so on. Doesn't indicate yet cycling, which I'm going to ask Ms. Kwok to identify as well. But there is no activity corridor. There's no shopping street where I can walk along, or bars and restaurants I can walk along. So I got it's a lifeless space which is not inviting to anybody to go anywhere. So this way of planning of our city is just unacceptable. We've destroyed the Kowloon West Reclamation in exactly this way by Highways Department and Transport Infrastructure. We've killed, that's our last piece of reclamation in Hong Kong. And if you look at that from an urban planning point of view, it's destroyed. There is no good urban plan. I invite you, Paul, to walk with me from Lai Chi Kok to the Kowloon Cultural District through that area. You can't. It's a war zone. And that is Hong Kong's, our latest piece of urban design. And here we're going to do exactly the same again. And we've been put with a knife to the throat because last meeting we asked the question, when does it need to be approved? When is this going to be gazetted? You had no time for us to make any amendments to this. You've basically made clear that we got to accept this because otherwise you're not going to make your schedule. And if you're not going to make this schedule, nothing else will make their schedule. So we have a knife at our throat to accept this. I think this is a horrible situation we put in. And Vincent has looked after the Kai Tak Task Force from its start. And even he, as a chairman, who knows every detail, has been involved continuously with this project, is just amazed and shocked to receive this at this particular time. Again, with a knife at his throat. This cannot be how we're going to do planning in Hong Kong. If I look at some of the details, Paul, here of this plan, Chairman.
Focus on detail, please.
Look at this waterfront here. The biggest and most important and most desirable space around the Nulla and the Kai Tak approach is exactly where the red line is. Well, where at the red line can I sit in a cafe and drink a beer and talk to my friends? This is your marina. This is your Marina Bay. This is your darling harbour in terms of its shape and size and dimensions. All the sites have been taken by roads. Exactly in 2004, what we had identified as the problem, and now we're getting it back again in Kai Tak. I think we cannot simply, unanimously, as a committee today, we have to reject this plan. We cannot accept this as a Harbourfront Commission. This is in breach of every principle we've worked on since 2004. So, Chairman, I ask for that to be done. I have specific comments that if we're going to do anything here in Kai Tak, we have to consolidate the land users, we have to create activity corridors, not just pedestrian corridors. So we have to look at how to create GFA for commercial activities and bars and restaurants, whether it goes on top of the spaces or under or whatever. But we'll have to work within the areas that are going to be designated to road and find ways of resolving this. On the area of Yamade and Kai Tak, I'll ask this specific question for Highways Department to identify how many hectares of land is being taken here for roads, for the amenity areas related to roads, and for the GIC users that are related to support the Highways Department. I'd like to see the exact amount of hectares for those areas. I think Hong Kong will be shocked to read that number. And I want to know that for Yamate and for Kai Tak. Specifically, some more comments on Tokwa 1. The PTI there, that is designed there, I just wonder why there's no coach parking in it, either below or on top, as we need coach parking facilities. Yeah. The Tokwa 1 area, there is the disused car ferry pier, which I believe that have to make sure that gets done into an interesting structure as part of this project, not being left idle on the side. And I think that the Tokwa 1, the PTI, there got to be again a GFA for retail and commercial activities. We can activate the waterfront at Tokwa 1 to be included. So, for Yamate specifically, Chairman, the question remains how how are people going to walk there? We have to see a pedestrian plan, a cycling plan, and a connectivity plan for retail activities through that area that is now dominated by roads. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, Becky first.
Thank you, Chair. I think the CKR actually makes a very good sense for vehicular traffic. But for the Harbourfront Commission, and especially as the chair of the Kowloon Task Force, I'm also concerned about people and activities. So in particular, how would all these projects affect and bring, you know, pedestrian movements and the use of open space within this area? As you can see in the presentation and in the consultative documents, there's quite a lot of open space as well, especially in Yau Ma Tei near the ventilation buildings and all the parks and so on. So how do we really bring people there, enhance the pedestrian connectivity, not just vehicular connectivity, along the waterfront, bringing vibrancy, that means people and activities, really to the waterfront, rather while not jeopardizing a lot of these aims and objectives of the CKR. So I heard, especially from the beginning, that Joanna has promised to come back to the task force about all these issues, especially at the local scale, how we can enhance and bring people back into the area. There's a lot of details there. As you mentioned, the details that may actually lies, the devils may actually lies into the details. So we really want to know more about this and see how this can actually, some of the problems identified can be solved. So while this will actually probably be discussed at the individual task force, I think it's worth also highlighting this at the Harbourfront Commission meeting, because it's one of our key concerns here. So it's people and activities. Thank you.
Thank you. Please work up the line, please. Please, yes.
Okay, yeah, Chairman. I'll try not to go into details, but I think judging from the presentation of the project team, I'm very concerned about whether the team actually consider this as a primarily engineering project. I'll try to be objective, but I think now judging from the presentation, I think obviously I think the objective of the project is very simple, to provide the very convenient east-west vehicle link between east and west Kowloon. I don't think there's too much debate within all the stakeholders here after all these various stages of studies in the past 10-20 years. But I think everyone has to be aware that the impact onto the Kowloon area is so huge. I try not to mention the central Kowloon areas. Yau Ma Tei area seems that the Yau Ma Tei area is not the inland area is not the mandate of this this commission. But I think that also be a very very important issue. But now looking at these two ends, the Kai Tak area and the West Kowloon area, I think. Definitely, I think that the priority should not be going to the highway structures, particularly with the waterfront context. I think that the priority should go to the people. And one thing that's actually a bit annoying is that now having all these trouble getting the CKR going underground and then going through the temporary reclamation, and then you climb up again and then blocking the very important gateway of these public open space along the waterfront, and then going down again to in the T2. Of course, I think now the Kai Tak River may be the fundamental constraint that you cannot press any of these highway structures down. But I think it's still I still think that it's still worthwhile for us to actually look at how these highway structures would be actually minimized. And in all overseas countries, I think there's so many successful examples that all these highway structures actually tactfully being integrated with all these landscaping design, so that the people would be still the top priorities, not the vehicles, and not the vehicles actually going through the viaducts. Without looking at details, I think everyone knows understand all these viaducts actually create another situation like our Causeway Bay area that is creating no man's land. Yeah. Right on the waterfront, while all these become just a visual passive treatment by landscaping. And on the other side, on the West Kowloon side, I think it's obvious that now unfortunately, all these chunks of spaghetti is already in place. But I think how to minimize impact onto the open space. Now, if you look at the OZP, there is a big chunk of open space, ozone, around all these viaducts. I think it seems that that sort of consideration is not really being addressed in the latest design. I think I'll try not to go into details. I think this is something I think we should make sure that the team would get the right mindset to look at a project rather than looking at this just a purely engineering project. And I'm not sure whether, apart from highways department, whether or how the other departments, planning departments, looking at urban design, would also look at the project and make sure that it would create another people-orientated areas on the two sides. Thank you.
Please, Peter.
Thank you. I can see that we're all going to make much the same points, I think. Firstly, I would like to say that I think it's a very well put together consultation document. It's one of the clearest I've actually seen, and reading through it, even at very short notice, I get the picture. I think, obviously, as various people have said, the majority of works are in tunnels of various kinds, and there are two points of concern related to environmental interest, really. The first are the things that require relocation on a temporary basis, such as the jade market. The second is really at what happens at each end. The Western Tunnel portal area is also quite extensive. One thing I don't necessarily see, although I think the situation is that there are options presented to cover bits of certainly the Western portal, either with so-called green landscape or a more complicated deck system that allows public access. I think that perhaps needs a little bit of explaining. Again, the same situation really with Kai Tak. It's more problematic in terms of the amount of actual road spaghetti, certainly. Obviously, we need to minimise the amount of elevated flyovers. I agree with Becky and Vincent. We can mitigate impact with greenery, but Kai Tak needs to work through a pleasant and connective ground-level environment. It isn't really that areas under flyovers cannot be treated well. They can. Darling Harbour actually has flyovers, you know, elevated roads over it. In Seoul, where I was a couple of months ago, the famous central corridor on the eastern end of the town has some absolutely beautiful landscape associated with it. But there just does seem to be an awful lot of concrete. And the tunnel portal in Kai Tak seems unnecessarily large. I think really, you know, very clearly the big issue of concern is actual or potential sterilization of ground-level environment. It's difficult to say what is not absolutely necessary or what might be slightly changed to minimize the surface roads and the elevated highways. What we really need, and I think sort of Andy was getting at this, is a sort of external plan. You know, we're looking at certainly Kai Tak in terms of the Kai Tak section. There seems on the surface to be a lot of green, but a lot of extremely empty and disconnected spaces. And you know, planning of Kai Tak does have a lot of very good objectives associated with it. Mainly trying to create a vibrant pedestrian environment with connectivity and activity. And I think we need to sort of blend these in. So firstly, how can we actually minimize the area of at-grade and elevated highways associated with both ends of the route? And secondly, how do we actually relate that to the existing objectives, the environmental objectives and planning objectives of the area? Because if we actually look at these diagrams on page 16, 17 of the report, it really almost emphasizes just how potentially sterile the area is. And, you know, we've got to be able to look at giving different kind of priorities to this area. It's a fundamental importance. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? PY, please.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to speak in Cantonese, please.
Sure. No problem. Change
channel. 我呢就嘗試去睇下有啲咩地方嗰啲機遇或者做好啲啦，或者即係可以加一啲分咁樣啦。咁我想睇第46嗰張幻燈片。 你提到嗰個係咪啟福道嗰啲油站嗰啲位置，咁啊，你或者可以澄清係咪即係嗰個地塊可以調整，即係整合翻大啲，好用啲。如果係咧，我可以加翻一分俾你啊。因為我覺得嗰度係需要因為而家設到好零碎，因為你改咗嗰個譬如二字啊、一字嗰啲地方嗰啲路調整咗之後咧，可能係改善咗嘅。 咁但係即係應該揾多爭取多啲呢啲機會咯，同埋即係如果係咁咧，即係呢個行出去嗰個啟德嗰個所謂 channel， 即係海旁嗰度咧，就係即係嗰個行人嗰個聯繫咧，應該再加強啲啦。因為你雖然畫咗幾條紅色嘅線，其實嗰個都唔係好夠，因為九龍灣就有好多嘅即係潛力，即係嗰個。包括即係嗰個視覺上啦，同埋即係實際上行人嗰個流動嗰個方向咧，其實由九龍灣德福一路行到出去，望到出去啟德跑道，同埋嗰個所謂公園都會公園嗰度咧，其實係一個好重要嘅軸線啊，可以咁講。咁啊，第二咧就係啊 Peter 咧，剛才提到嗰啲天橋底啊、玉器市場啊等等嗰啲咧，咁即係我。 見到咧西邊嗰邊咧，那個橋咧經嗰、那個路線咧，經過影響嗰幾樣嘢。咁我睇你嗰本書咧，譬如第06，即係淺藍色嗰頁咧，我就唔係太明白啊，因為你又影響咗一啲臨時玉器市場啊，又會拆咗嗰個多層停車場啊，又起翻個圖書館啊等等。其實呢啲除咗係有破壞或者 即係要拆嘅影響之外咧，其實都可能係一啲機遇，即係做翻好一啲嘢咁。咁所以我就唔係好了解，我唔知算唔算係海濱事務啦，因為呢度都離開個海都幾遠。咁但係佢係成個 project 嚟嘛，咁所以我都作為一個規劃師咧，都好想理解多啲。譬如嗰個玉器市場同嗰啲圖書館啊、公共設施會唔會經過呢個調整，將佢整合啲，咁亦都創造咗啲新嘅機遇，咁啊將嗰個地面嗰啲使用更合理化，做得更人性化咧，咁即係如果唔係搬咗一嚿嘢拆翻，又起翻舊，但係唔知點解，咁啊呢個係冇乜意思。咁嗰個油麻地警署係一個古蹟啊，我相信。 咁咧，雖然你條橋冇直接鏟到佢鼻咗都幾好，咁但係即係嗰個即係互相之間咧，嗰個影響咧，喺呢度咧，亦都唔係睇得太清楚，因為你即係好有壓迫咁樣咧，其實都唔係一個好理想嘅。即係呢啲都係細節，咁梗係今日真係唔會夠時間去睇啊！我都好希望即係喺你咁多限制底下咧，即係能夠有啲咩機遇咧，都盡量將佢發揮出嚟，做得即係將佢唔係咁好嘅嘢咧，都盡量做好嘅。
Thank you. Anybody else wish to comment? Please, Suki.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Chairman. In fact, I take the same view as Mr. P.Y. Tam, trying to add value onto the project. I step back from the proposal in terms of I take the proposal from the strategic angle. I think I accept the positive impact from the strategic planning point of view, for example, the socio-economic and environmental impact from a strategic angle. Members' comment basically focus on the detailed design, but I take the broader view. And that is one point I can accept the Central Kowloon corridor as a kind of a need already justified in the 2007 to 2009 first public consultation in terms of the need, in terms of the alignment, in terms of the proposal. I also try to take the opportunity to see whether the definition of temporary reclamation, if that could be justified under the protection of the harbour ordinance, I suppose the permanent reclamation also justified under the picture. When I look at the map, the drawings on talking about the construction sequence of temporary reclamation, now if the temporary reclamation is justified under the ordinance, can we take the opportunity to make use of the temporary reclamation as a permanent land provision for land-based recreation? And instead of also enclosing the water body inside the area, can we just partially using the temporary sequence of reclamation, use that water body as a yachting center. Can that provide an added value to the proposal? That's the second point. Third point is, of all the local environmental impacts, such as the visual, the landscaping, the noise, the vibration, and the air quality, I suppose they are all subject to the environmental impact assessment, and there should be further public consultation under the EIAO that the local would be consulted. And I hope when the local is going to be consulted, there should be some sort of open house to be provided at the two intersection space, so that the nearby residents can come in, they can share the information face-to-face with the project proponent, rather than simply submitting written comments and calling by telephone, for example. They can actually physically on the site and see the plan. I think these are my comments, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Mrs. Kwok, I'm going to make a suggestion. I don't think you should try and respond or reply to the numerous comments you've heard today. I mean, I think a lot of them you need to take away, I believe, and digest. I don't think that we're going to achieve a great deal more this afternoon, other than to record, obviously, our serious concerns, particularly at both ends, if I may put it this way, of the piece of infrastructure. I think what should happen is, please, if you take away our concerns, and what we will do is we'll call an extraordinary meeting of the two task forces which are responsible for this area, the Kai Tak Task Force and the Kowloon Task Force. Kowloon obviously is responsible for Yamate, and Kai Tak is responsible for what we see on the screen in front of us. And I think I would suggest to you, as soon as you're ready, come back and brief those two task forces, the combined task force. And I would see it much more as a working session, if I may suggest, where you have serious dialogue to and fro in terms of what is possible, what is feasible. We're not going to achieve that today, and I think I would suggest that many of the things you've heard you do need to take away and consider. But we're in your hands, but I suggest that we do break now. You take away what you've heard. I think you've got, basically, there is agreement on the strategic need, or acceptance, not agreement, acceptance of the strategic need, if you like, for the piece of infrastructure. But there's a lot of work to be done on what I call the detail, particularly in terms of where both of the facilities exit from the tunnel. Both have major impact in terms of our work and our responsibility. And I think you need to come back when you're ready with some responses to the things we've identified today. Are you happy to leave it on that basis?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the views and comments and suggestions from the members. Yes, I agree to the arrangement, just a quick response.
Please.
Strategically, the main objective of the Central Cardinal, of course, is to provide a strategic link for the road network, but we always are of the view that we would take the opportunity to integrate the road design and also with the environment, and also to take the opportunity to improve from the environment, the visual impact, the development and the land use as far as possible. Now, I appreciate very much the vision of the Commission of bringing the people to the harbourfront and having a vibrant harbourfront, and we are more than happy to take into account the views connected at this meeting, and discuss with the relevant departments and stakeholders on how to improve the detailed design and layout of the interchanges at both ends, and plus what Paul just mentioned, also the Mata-wide landscape deck, and also the promenade in Mata-wide. We will come back after we have a more concrete response to the views and comments here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. And again, may I make a suggestion, and this is not being in any way rude, if I may put it that way, to the team, but you are essentially an engineering group appearing before us today. When you talk to the two task forces, could I suggest you have some architects alongside and maybe some landscape planners as well? I think it will give greater credence to what you're trying to do, if I may put it that way, at both ends of the facility.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Please.
Thank you, Chairman. May I request in the next time when the highway present to us again, may I have a specific section on talking about how to link the pedestrian from inner town to the harbourfront, including, say, what sort of means they will provide, footbridge, escalator, lift, all sort of arrangement, and also on the way how to give people a pleasant walk to the harbourfront. I think I need a public, specific section on this issue. Thank you,
Chairman. No, very important, I agree. Okay. All right. This is Kwok and team, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to the two professors. I'm sorry you didn't get your chance, but as I say, your presentations will be kept for the record. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.